Geek Radio Daily with A Moment from Mysticon 2018. This is the panel Cult Movies, a feature presentation. In this, the cast of Charming Underclothes joins me as we talk about cult movies, how we were introduced to them, how cult films are mainstream now, and name some of the flicks you may not have seen or even heard of. So join us as we talk the movies you love.
All right, it is 2 o'clock, and that's time to do it. It is Cult Movies, a feature presentation, which is an oxymoronic title if you stop and think about it. Go ahead, we'll wait.
Fair enough.
Oh, I see what he's saying. I get it now, what he's talking about. Who is joining us on this fantastic panel today? Because obviously we're talking cult movies and how they're kind of mainstream now. It's weird.
John Johnson.
Johnny!
Woo-hoo!
I'm his favorite.
Can we do the intro of like, here's Johnny?
Oh. He's hated that since he was six.
My favorite is Don Johnson. I used to get that.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go from the makers of Plan 9.
Yeah, really?
Johnny!
So, I've made 180
Who's Johnny?
Films.
She said and smiled. Oh,
all yesterday.
In South Compton.
In South Compton, yeah.
Yes.
With dwarves.
Starting Charlie Sheen.
Yes. And peanut butter.
Is that it?
that was it.
He's a man
he's
of
like the
works.
Most. Yeah, come on now. Okay, well, he's the filmmaker. I am a musician, but I'm on this panel because I just have spent most of my life watching movies. Who needs friends when you have movies? So
first time I met her, we spent 2 hours talking about cult movies.
Yeah, it's true, at Jared's house.
And what is your name?
Oh,
for the audio recording, you see.
Angel Metro, DJ Angel Metro. You may have seen me last night. Woo! Especially if you were on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but people just kept bringing me up, and I had to call Tony. I was like, I gotta get this is zone. Take me to my room.
What's Cap Clave has you?
Yeah, seriously, right?
I lost my name tag. I'm Wednesday Morning. I am part of Charming Underclothes from the Rocky Horror.
I've heard of those guys. They're awesome.
Charming Underclothes. We have a thing now.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
If you want to stay
I look
in the
really
group,
weird.
If you want to stay
okay,
in the
I'll do it once. But only for you guys. All right. Are you done
you
talking?
You have to do it for the radio.
No, I was Columbia/Harley for that show, and I love cult movies. I was apparently introduced to one at 12, and I didn't realize it was a cult movie, because I was like, oh, all 12-year-olds watch this.
Accurate.
Army of Darkness.
I mean, great example you're of a cult company. Movie being a feature presentation.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I am Morningstar. I play Brad Majors in Charming Underclothes.
Yeah.
I'm a dude now. Obviously, I had to do it because they wouldn't let me stay. I actually just got recently involved in learning about cult movies through this guy. And this girl.
But you married her.
I did, but
I tried so hard to win your heart.
Yeah.
Are you cheating on me?
No.
Well, would you admit it?
We do have a thing, sort of, kind of. I'm just saying.
It's okay, Wednesday. We can have a thing.
He just can't quit him.
I can't. I can't.
What's
this? We need to do a video on that.
I think it's recording.
Is someone recording?
It is recording.
Yeah, it's being recorded right now.
I have a disclaimer. Like, if I'm on a panel, you cannot record the shit that I'm saying.
Our panels never make sense.
It's set up so it picks up everybody's voice but yours. You're fine.
Yes!
Totally fine.
Sunday morning. Everybody's half dead.
Your turn.
This is a Wednesday morning.
No, this is cool. I like it.
You prefer poopy?
Okay. Where did that come from?
You Billy.
No. He's like, you can't say shit on a Sunday morning panel. I'm like, do you prefer poopy?
Oh,
he prefers if you just say f***ing get it over
okay.
with.
Yeah,
there's the PG-13. There you go, guys.
We've already had one, so
there's
now
no children. I checked this time. The other day I said f***, I mean shoot.
Oh, they did it again.
Now
it's
R-rated.
I didn't know that I said a single
well,
sorry.
If it's R-rated,
it's okay,
please.
I said pedophile a lot.
No, Billy, you have
to oh my God.
I'm ginger
one of the panels.
Woo! You gotta do the thing, though. You gotta...
I haven't gotten to that.
Okay, I'm just saying.
You're rushing her.
Let's do that again. I'm Ginger Snaps, Adam's Family Click, and I'm part of Charming Underclothes.
See how she did it so naturally?
She did.
And I played Janet Weiss, a.k.a. Jean Grey, in our show. Yes.
Janet.
And I have been in love with cult movies all my life since a very, very young age because of poor choices and poorer parenting.
You mean great parenting.
Great parenting.
Also that.
Then there's this guy.
Then there's this one.
It's your turn.
Hi, everyone. I'm Syrinx.
Hi. Syrinx.
Do you belong with anyone?
We need to see it.
No, I'm just hanging out.
Oh, we got mics.
Oh,
it's actually, we just got famous here.
We're a panel
now. I get to be louder.
You want to do Bust a Move?
Great.
Oh, God. Break out Bust a Move.
No, wait, it's not on yet. It's not on yet. Wait, give it a minute.
Okay.
Give it a second.
Well, Nick,
keep talking.
All right. So I'm a music director for Mr. Khan.
Do it. You got to do it.
God,
he's chomping in close.
Dude, shut up. Jump the gun.
Syrinx is the reason people like me are here.
So
So all the bands that were here every year. And then I'm also the cast director and founder of Charming Underclothes.
Yes.
For those of you at the show, I was Riff Raff, portrayed by Moon Knight.
He made that. Yeah. I was very, like, pleased. That was amazing. Yeah. I loved it.
It was an amazing
it
costume.
It was slick.
I'm just happy I had a Moon Knight reference before realizing you were Moon Knight. That's a psychic ability.
But I also have other connections with their other panelists. So Angel and I have a musical project called Morning Star.
Johnny and him have been in county.
Is he named after me?
Awesome.
It's because of his love for you.
We did a song for a good friend of ours, Brian Grotner of the Grossicles. It's kind of a goof song, but it's actually a pretty cool song.
I get to rap.
Yeah.
I'm not good at rapping, guys.
But we're going to work on
is this panel actually you guys just performing that song?
No.
There's a video.
I don't remember. There's a kangaroo. I don't really remember the words.
Like, I just have a panel for the library
and, pretty much.
And, then my newest adventure is I am in Johnny's upcoming seventh guest series at Perusia. Which is due out, what, summer?
Well, it's in post now, so the 10 episodes, it's 10 25-minute episodes, they're being edited, and they will probably release in 2019, but we will be touring episode 1. We had a test screening here Friday night.
Yes.
Where will it be located at?
We don't know. I mean, Amazon will most likely have it. It'll probably be other places as well, but I would imagine Amazon definitely will have it.
And, of course, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn from GeekRadioDaily.com.
Ding!
Thank you so much. And I didn't know that I was a cult movie fan growing up because I didn't realize that
back in my day,
the Friday and Saturday night all night horror shows that we had locally, I didn't realize how many cult movies. I didn't know what that was. You'd get the occasional, oh look, they're actually going to show like House of Dracula, which has got respectable. And then every now and again, you'll see just something that you had no idea existed. And then later you find out it's this weird thing that, oh, really? Because I kind of liked that. That was fun. But yeah, cult movies for the longest time were just hidden. And it was so incredibly difficult to find them. I never got to see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre until it was on VHS and we rented a VCR to watch it.
Yeah!
It was tough times. It was tough times back in the day.
Truly tragic.
It was very, very brutal.
But it is interesting that you brought up Army of Darkness. I like that because that fits into this so perfectly. Somewhere along the way, not only did cult movies, did more people start to realize, oh yeah, actually there's a bunch of us that like this. I can say that without being ashamed. More and more they've become mainstream, and now you actually have Hollywood trying to make cult movies.
Yeah.
So now you don't even realize they're cult movies anymore.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I didn't realize they were cult movies. I mean, like, for me, so many of the movies that have, like, a fandom now, it was like, oh, she watches this, you should avoid that person. And now that's, yeah, like, all of those movies are, like, cult movies now, which I think is how it starts. When they come out, it's the movies that no one likes, and they're awesome, and we all love them. And then, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, all of a sudden, like, there's this huge following, and you're like, what? That's garbage. That's not okay. And then you do the hipster. Yeah. I liked that before. I got picked on for liking this movie. How dare you like this movie? No.
You didn't face the trials and tribulations I did. You didn't suffer for the movie.
Yeah.
So then let's ask the most difficult question that we're going to ask. What was your cult movie? What opened the door for you?
Obviously, we know about Army of Darkness. So
yeah, I was like, I think that was mine, so.
Probably Fright Night, 1984.
I just didn't love that that's a cult movie because that was a big Hollywood thing to me. It was at the theaters. I got to go see it, and it was awesome. And then, yeah, no, it's
now,
actually
yeah, now it's yeah, it's kind of cultish now. Those who still watch it.
Oh, by the way, we're talking about the only version of Fright Night that was ever made starring William Ragsdale and Roddy McDowall. Never.
You mean there was a second one?
Fright Night 2 is surprisingly decent.
It is good.
Fright Night 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Fright Night 2 Electric Fangaloo.
Monster Squad is probably another one.
Monster Squad is so
fucking good. Around the same time.
Kind of obvious answer that we don't say.
Recently, about a year ago, I was on this wonderful podcast Martin Darkly lives over in the UK does. It's called I Saw That Years Ago. And you guys would love this and you should contact him about being on it. But it's taking a movie that you absolutely loved and adored as a kid. And you go on the show with them and you talk about how much you loved it and how awesome it is. You pause. And then the three of you together sync up and stream and watch the movie together and sort of chat in a window about it. And then you finish the podcast in which they do ask the question, well, does that hold up to what you remember? Do you still love that?
Oh, nice.
Monster Squad was the one I brought. And it's amazing because, again, because I'm old, I didn't realize that my love of Monster Squad came from the TV edit version. Which has scenes that are not in the actual film itself.
Interesting.
A line that I've quoted for years and years and years, and it wasn't until the DVD came out that I realized wasn't in the movie, but was on TV. At the end, when his sister say the words for the spell, yeah. And then finally the dude's like, is she really? He's like, are you really a virgin? Well, there was Tommy, but it doesn't count. The movie cuts to something else, but on TV, the kid, he goes, does it count? Does it count? We're talking about the end of the world and you say it doesn't count? And that's a great line.
Yeah.
It's not in the movie. So for that particular podcast, I had to say, no, I love this film, but I have to admit, I love the version from TV. This version's not quite as good. So insane.
Yeah, for me, well, I mean, and it seems even silly to consider it. I mean, it's a cult movie, but it's just so fucking huge now. Where when I was a kid, it wasn't, but The Evil Dead. I mean, the first Evil Dead.
Yeah.
You know, that changed my entire outlook on horror. I mean, it was done, it was so well written, it was so, the theatrical makeup of it, I mean, they had them spitting out, it wasn't just blood, it wasn't just the slashers, you know, it wasn't just like Child's Play and Hellraiser where it had the gore, it was like, I don't know, syrup and oatmeal, and it really was a throwback to like, you know, silent era films where they would use like Hershey syrup or whatever, and yeah, that changed my whole, I just fucking love that movie, and you know, I tried the Ash versus Evil Dead. I won't talk about that because I love Lucy Lawless and I love Bruce Campbell. But yeah, that movie really did change my whole, you know, thing of horror. And I think, you know, not that this is my first, but the one that I'm obsessed with now, and I know everyone else is too. And if you were at the show last night, you know that I'm obsessed with it. But Kung Fury, like
yes.
A movie made by a nerd. Four nerds with every 80s cliche you could possibly ask for. It was, I love that.
Are you ready for the sequel?
I am so ready for the sequel. Like,
did everyone
I am
know that Kung Fury
that.
Is getting a big budget Hollywood film? Everyone knows
that.
Which I'm concerned
right?
about.
Michael Fassbender and Arnold Schwarzenegger will be starring in the big budget Kung Fury. But our original actor will be in it as well. So we have,
yeah.
It is legitimate.
Awesome.
The Hoff?
Yeah, he's actually going to have a role in it.
What?
Oh,
how
nice.
Did I miss that? Okay.
He did the music video for it.
Of course.
Yeah,
he
wrote the soundtrack. The main.
Does he have a light up suit that he's wearing?
I did play it last
night.
It's so funny because I'll play that, you know, at goth night and like, you know, it's goth people. Like, I don't know, maybe that, like handful of them maybe have seen Kung Fury, and every once in a while I'll get that one guy walk in and go, yes, yes, and I'm like, this is exactly why I do this. This is for you.
The jokes for the three people to get them.
Yes!
Yeah.
So, as I said, Army of Darkness was one, and I didn't even realize that it was a cult movie, because I was just like, oh yeah, 12-year-olds see this all the time. Another one, which I'm not sure if it's even a cult movie, but I feel like it is, Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
I loved it. I saw it when, you know, it was on VHS and everything, and I loved it, because, I mean, he had scissors for hands. As a kid, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. It's sharp objects for hands. And then I went back and I watched it, and I'm like realizing, I was like, wow. My parents let me watch that. I was like, there's a lot of slightly adult things in there that I'm surprised they let a small child watch that. And then I think about Army of Darkness as well.
There's a ton of adult things in Rocky and Bullwinkle. You just don't understand them when you're a child. That's how that works.
What's my turn? Okay.
well, you didn't go ahead and start talking since you just like to go out of turn. You didn't do the
I've thing. I've talked more today than I have all weekend probably. Anyway, like I said, still kind of new to the cult movie scene. First, I guess, would be Rocky because he introduced me to it.
Aww.
And you. And you. I told you it's like a bromance thing. Anyway, but yeah.
You're just my wife.
Yeah, I've really kind of immersed myself into that thanks to Charmin Underclothes.
Oh, we did it again.
Dear God, are we doing this?
Yeah.
Are we doing that every time?
Yeah. Wait, I gotta love it. Is this our library bar?
That is. It's our library bar.
I think you like snack it.
But anyway, so yeah, realizing that... not only is it a cult movie, but it's turned into so much more than that. And we're family.
Really.
We take care of each other. If we have issues or
take
even a bad day, we talk about
other?
It. Huh?
Take care of each other?
Well,
he
did do one thing that we don't talk about, and I didn't tell her yet.
What?
Oh, that time we saw a giant penis. I forgot.
Drama, y'all.
We're working on it.
Don't you love just watching nothing but inside jokes happen before you? Isn't that beautiful?
I was like, and we've also recently acquired my Rocky baby.
Yeah,
one of my Rocky babies.
We also recently acquired the library bards.
We did.
Yeah.
I think everyone acquired them.
Something amazing happened at the Rocky Horror Show that happened here just the other night. And that is, how does someone see Rocky for the first time as a cast member? How exactly do you do that? Don't you need some familiarity with
the subject? I'm fixing that. She's going to come to my old cast. And
I just hadn't gone to like an actual like in-person performance.
Right. So
she's
going to
be officially de-virginized from my old cast. So
yep.
I am fixing that.
Yes, my adoptive mother is going to make sure I get de-virginized from Rocky.
The way it should be.
The way it should be.
She's got parenting.
I've never seen a shadow cast like from the audience perspective.
So you have to go too then.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, there it is.
Yep, it's done. Put that down.
Thank you.
I think this is the longest I've gone in a panel without talking over people.
Oh, God.
I'm so proud of you.
It's your turn now.
It is my turn now,
so
I know.
So you could talk over yourself.
Yes, I could.
All right.
For me, it's two movies, one of which you know because I've talked about this at length before, is Heathers. I have such a love affair with that movie. I really love the nihilism and just the... I'm so angry about the reboot.
I thought they had a reboot.
They did. They have a reboot where they've apparently completely missed the point of Heathers. And judging by the first episode, it's all about how really straight cis white people have it so hard.
I saw an article today. I did not get to read it, but I just saw the headline and went, I'll put a pin into it. I'll come back to it. But it said, the new Heathers... is a Trumpian LGBT bashing affair.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, that's
how
not
you,
the movie I
how
watched.
How do you miss the point so badly that it's like, oh, the people who ruled the school are the marginalized people. Yep, that's what Heathers is about. But no, I love the nihilism and I love just the absurdity of it. The other one, and I mean, maybe it wasn't, but I feel like it was, and we talked about this a little yesterday, was Reanimator. I love Reanimator so much. That's just such a good film. Mm. I kind of feel like it was a bit of a cult movie.
Sure. Okay.
I consider it.
Definitely. Yeah. The norms didn't know anything about that, so yeah. With that cast, I think it automatically qualifies as a cult movie, so yeah.
For me, the first one that really I grabbed onto as this type of feature has to be when I saw Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
We are never letting that movie go.
Never.
Brought up a second time.
What was the name of the film?
Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Kiss Meets the Phantom.
Yeah, as in the band. As in the band.
They were playing that in the room party on Friday night.
Oh, nice. Nice.
They did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the one that I saw that I still love to this day, and it's probably one of my all-time favorite of cult movies, is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Only the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton can defeat Aerosmith.
Only they can defeat Aerosmith. Oh my God.
In an alternate world.
For those who haven't seen it, we've talked about this in a few panels.
I will always put Steve Martin as Dr. McCall Edison over top of Steve Martin as the dentist from Little Shop. Right?
But just picture in your heads, if you had to picture a band to play the Beatles, if you couldn't have the Beatles, just picture it in your heads for a second. We're all thinking the same thing. The Bee Gees and Peter Frampton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's what we were all thinking. We all know it.
And make sure you've learned, you know, I know we know now, but everyone's like, well, Marvel movies, you should have stated at the end of the credits. No, you should have known since Ferris Bueller. Let's be damned honest about that. But make sure if you do subject yourself to Sgt. Pepper's, watch the credits, and you'll see there's actually a reference for some Broadway. They made the movie to launch it to make a musical out of it.
And they
Broadway.
Did the opposite of that.
They killed it where it stood. But it was a very interesting thing when they decided to show it on TV, because this was so long ago and we're old and the younger people are going to go, what the hell?
No, we still have TVs, Billy.
No. This is totally different. It's totally different. Well, back, because I'm from North Carolina, Goldsboro, North Carolina, when they showed it, it was on Channel 5 out of Raleigh, who also aired the movie on the radio station, so you could turn on your radio so you could hear it in stereo like it was filmed.
Oh my God.
They went all out.
What sorcery is this?
The Bee Gees and Peter Frampton.
Oh, God, yeah. And who was it playing, Mr. Kites?
Mr. Kite was George Burns.
George Burns.
It's a very weird. Everyone is in that movie. That's the crazy thing about it. George
the
Burns is in it.
The worst version of
Billy Preston's in it. Donald Pleasance is in it. It's
Shauna Na's in the end credits.
Shauna Na.
It's in the end credits.
Oh God. The worst version of oh God, what's that song?
Spoken word.
Oh, the I Want You?
Yeah, I Want You, spoken word
Donald
version.
Donald Pleasance looking at the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton. I want you.
No, George Burns, wasn't it?
No.
Donald Pleasance doing that because he's trying to sign him. Oh. I want you so bad. It's the creepiest thing. You're going to want to bathe for a while. It's insane. Like I said, I was watching all the late night horror movie things, so I honestly couldn't tell you what the first actual cult one was. The only thing I could tell you is that my parents specifically told me how ridiculous it was, how no one thought it was going to work and became a hit when they showed The Blob.
Oh, my God.
I love The Blob.
Yellow.
It was the late night, the original. I do love the remake of The Blob. I really do. I admire the shit out of that movie for what they did with that. They kept the schlocky, but they brought it up some, and I love that. But yeah, the original one, there's nothing quite like that. There's nothing. The biggest thing I could say about cult movies, the one thing I remember the most, is that when I was in the sixth grade, the movie channel about 7,000 times one June showed It Came from Hollywood, which is a celebration of all the trash that ever came out of Hollywood, which has segments hosted by Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, John Candy, Cheech and Chong. If you ever find this...
Phyllis cast right there.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
If you can ever find this, it's interesting to watch just for them, because Cheech and Chong especially have a segment about, you know, drugs in the movies where they
LeShock.
Oh, right?
God. Said, what?
Have you guys heard this?
They get to talk back to the movie, which is one of the first instances of seeing that I ever actually saw. And they're showing the incredible shrinking man, and when the cat's coming after him, Cheech just deadpans out of nowhere. That's the first time a pussy's ever tried to eat a man. And I was, what, 11 or so when I saw that? When I was 14, I got that joke.
And then,
I mean, but that's another thing, too. Like, I focus a lot, and I think a lot of us do, on, like, horror movies and things like that. But, like, Up in Smoke, I totally consider a cult classic, and I grew up on that as a kid, too. And, like, it was low budget. Like, you know, it was a very... Earache my eye, like, comes out of my mama talking to me, trying to tell me how to live. It's just like, yeah, exactly.
And I mean, in a similar vein, like, you know, when you don't think of it that way in this time, but we've talked
about it. You gotta make her laugh more. That was incredible.
Okay, we'll do our best.
I love you.
We'll do our best, but, Mommy Dearest, you know,
yeah,
it was one of the earlier cult
more
classics,
more.
And they just embraced it. They embraced the, you know, because... It was the no more wire hangers.
Hollywood thought they had a serious Oscar contender, and people were laughing at it so much, they changed the marketing campaign. The tagline became, Mommy Dearest, no more wire hangers. Which is incredibly tasteless, but God, is that fun. And I forget the name of the gentleman. I do not remember his name, but he was in so many things in the 70s. He has the best moment ever when he decides, I am leaving, Joan, I'm leaving. Good luck. It's just this breathy, emoting thing. It's I do like to watch that every Mother's Day. I really do. It's a good time. And I will never forget, wow, going back in time again, a girl I was dating back in late 90s, I bought her the VHS copy from Sam Goody. And I walk up to the counter, and like, Mommy Dearest, I'm like, oh yeah, this movie is so horrible. And she's like, then why are you buying it? And right away, I'm like, you're just someone I'm not going to be friends with. It's like, because it's horrible. You have to realize how horrible this film is.
It's called masochism, guys. Let's just.
I'm taking this VHS to another line.
I mean, and then it kind of becomes a thing of like, I've suffered this. You're going to suffer it too.
It is the exact thing, that horrible human trait we have where it's like, oh my God, this is so horrible. Taste this.
The one I can think of, this smells awful.
Here.
Everyone else has to realize and rationalize and understand what this is. And that's what makes it so weird. Another Hollywood, and I think we talked about this last year, but it was at RavenCon, so we're safe here. Another time, Hollywood decided, oh my God, this isn't actually a real movie. We need to embrace the cult nature of it. Showgirls.
Yes.
Oh my God, yes.
When you have, oh gosh, when you have like a movie that has a press conference in it for a new Vegas showgirl.
Did you ever realize how big Vegas showgirls actually were? That the media would be swarming while...
For just one showgirl.
One!
Just
not a brand
one.
New show. She's taking over the thing that's been running while people eat veal for the past 24 months. She's taking over. Oh, let's talk to her. And by all means, if you could still find it, I bought the box set of Showgirls when it came out because it did have, it had the shot glass inside, it had the pin the pasties on the stripper game inside, it had a deck of cards.
When Billy makes more choice, he goes all in.
Do you still have it?
Of course I do.
How good are you at pinning the pasties on the...
Well,
the girl.
Here, step up, I'll show you. Fantastic. I got this.
She'll do it.
That's why I asked her, sir.
That's not appropriate. 2018.
We forgot the pasties, though.
It's all right.
I left them at home.
She's got pasties. We
can
do
perfect.
This. See?
Apparently, this is going to happen.
It's going back in.
Okay. There's a gentleman whose name I should know because he is the reason it became a cult movie. In California, he started getting showgirls shown at midnight showings and turned it into Rocky. So on this special edition DVD, it's him alone, but he's doing a running commentary track. And there's a moment in the film where this guy looks at Elizabeth Berkley, and with all sincerity, I mean, he acts his ass off right here in this scene, and he says to her, "You have more natural talent than any dancer I've ever seen." And the guy goes, "Boing! My mind just snapped!" Oh, God, I can't believe that. All right. So what is a cult movie that you think you've seen that really nobody knows? That's right. Dig for it.
Waxwork 2, Lost in Time.
Oh, my God. Patrick Meaney is a raven. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a good question. I don't know what people are watching these days.
Just imagine if I'd actually prepared for this panel.
No, right? We just talked about that.
I watched one a couple of weeks ago called Robot Holocaust.
Robot Holocaust. Yeah.
Did you see the MST or the actual film?
The actual film.
So you got to see Bianca Jagger take a shower. Good for you. Good for you.
I think the first one that I can pull up, and of course I'm not going to remember the name because I couldn't even get here by myself today, but this is a really great Japanese zombie film. She had like the chainsaw built into her.
Oh God.
And like the like protruding like zombie plant thing that they grew out of their heads. It's like the first one that popped in my head, but I can't remember the name of it.
God, I know
there's fireballs, I think, at one point.
There are.
There's fireballs.
Yeah, I mean, as you do. When it's
I saw that movie when I was once very inebriated, so I don't remember the name of it, but there's visuals in that.
I'm glad that was a, you know,
no, you
really well descriptive.
Again, I can't remember the movie, but I can, like, describe it to you. Like,
go for it. Maybe we can decide.
Peter Dinklage is in it.
Don't say Pixels.
No. Knights of Badass.
Yes, that's a great movie.
I love it. How you defeat a demon, like a succubus demon, is apparently you sing awesome metal songs.
Yeah, and you're Peter Dinklage back from the dead.
Yes, and that's your champion is dead Peter Dinklage.
Berserker.
I gotta say, I mean, that was, I think, you know, it got a little bit of a. budget behind it. It had to cast Peter Dinklage because, well, he probably just loves making the movie. But I mean, that came out after Game of Thrones, and it's so great because he's such an incredible actor, and not just in Game of Thrones, but you know, he's really like, I feel like even though he's a tortured soul, he's really dignified in that movie in a lot of ways. And then he goes to Knights of Badassum, which is like, you know, it's at a Ren Fair, but it's a medieval setting. He's like, yeah, bruh. How's it going, bruh? Like, just doing all this stuff. It's like, this is such good contrast. I love this.
Very Stoner-esque and everything.
I'm all about you in that movie. That's
soundtrack was amazing.
I might actually have one you haven't seen.
Try us.
Black Puppet Doll.
What?
That's racist. What is
this? No, it's literally the name of it. I literally have it right there. It's right there.
Black Devil Doll.
Devil Doll.
Devil Doll.
Puppet Doll. I was like, what?
I am tired.
You just triggered me at Alamo. They had a screening of Wolf Devil Woman. What? And have you never seen?
I think I know her.
Anyway.
Hey, how's it going? No, but that movie is stupendously bad. Check
so
that.
So it's mainly ahead. About sorry. An inmate that's on death row. He has a spell cast upon him before he dies and has his soul switched over to a marionette doll.
Oh.
And goes on a rampage afterwards. It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
It kind of sounds like Child's Play a little bit.
Was this made before or after Trilogy of Terror?
Yeah.
Because
it kind of sounds like somebody wanted to go full-blown version of Zuni Fetish Doll. Oh, yeah, no. So somebody was inspired by the Zuni Fetish Doll right there.
But it was by far the worst movie I'd ever seen, but I watched it because it was that bad.
It sounds like rubber if you've never seen it. For a while, it was on Netflix. Apparently, this serial killer or murderer, he dies, but his soul is then transferred to a tire.
Of course.
Lots. And the tire goes on a rampage and kills multiple people.
It's not a murdering cake.
Because
I do like
that's
that,
what tires
watch
do,
that.
Right?
I have not seen that, but you mentioned it the other day.
The guys who did Rubber were geniuses. I was at a convention in Pittsburgh, and the table beside me was the rubber table, and they just put a tire.
And everyone was like,
that's the star.
And I was sitting beside a tire the whole weekend.
Wow.
It was pretty smart.
If someone comes up and they really want to talk to him, they just kind of shake it a little bit.
They had handles.
You see, all of a sudden,
I like that the doll looks like James Brown.
He does, actually. He does.
Get up! Puppet! Get up!
For me?
Oh,
I saw that about a month ago. I think this
of the puppet people.
Comic channel.
That's cool.
Now we need to have like a running list.
You're selling it even harder to me.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently I already do.
Do it.
I don't even know where this came from.
And now,
fight me, Billy.
Da-da-da.
No, for me, there's two. One of them, you know, if you've seen Mystery Science Theater, you're familiar with this one, but there's a movie called Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yes.
I love that movie very much.
Yeah. Chapo, you're the laziest man on Mars.
Poor Chapo.
But also, a lot of people are familiar with Iron Sky, but not a lot of people are familiar with Iron Sky, The Coming Race, the sequel to Iron Sky.
I've seen that.
There is a
three
sequel.
Words, Hitler on T-Rex.
I'm sold.
Yes, it is a sequel to... a sequel to Iron Sky that basically involves the reptilian race that, you know, has infiltrated humanity, Adolf Hitler riding dinosaurs. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen.
That sounds beautiful.
I would sit there and watch
but
that.
But it's just so terrible, it's beautiful. I mean, I mean, Iron Sky was the same way. It was just so bad that you just couldn't help but love it. And I'd watched that movie so many times once I got introduced to it. And this is just that, but with lizard people and dinosaurs. I mean, so that
always
and more.
I feel like
he's on like a saddle and everything. T-Rex has got a bridle, and you know, it's like a very giant pony.
But outside of movies, there is also this very weird short called Rejected by Don. I can't think of his
Rickles,
last
name.
Rickles,
Lennon,
no, Hurt,
Adams,
DeLuise, and it was basically, Duck. It was actually nominated for an Academy Award, but I'm what looking up his name now.
Did it win?
It did not, unfortunately. Don Hertz.
Coscarelli?
No, Don Hertzfeld. And it was just these cartoons he made for the Learning Channel and for different products that were all rejected, and they're all just really, really surreal. I showed you this at RavenCon. It's just these very surreal little cartoons he drew, very pencil drawing, you know, cartoons. And then his slow kind of mental decline as he keeps getting rejected, and you have like the paper tearing and these.
If you were ever curious about taking acid but scared to, this is a good.
It is. It is. It is a good substitute for taking acid.
We try to be helpful on these panels.
Oh my goodness!
Make sure we give you guys solid life advice before you head out the door and leave Mrs. Khan for the.
See, that's what we do.
I've got three actually.
Do it.
All right. So first one is a underground '80s horror. Pardon me, maybe.
Everything's horror.
The Gate.
The Gate!
Yes. Best way to fight off demons is to play heavy metal.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
We keep running into that theme. Demons and heavy metal.
Demons and heavy metal.
Apparently. It's a real thing now.
Second line, we're doing our best to make it more widely known, but the Lost Skeleton.
Yes. Woo! I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I sleep now.
But you didn't until you met
No,
me.
I did, actually. I watched it in college, and I thought it was terrible.
She fell asleep.
No, I didn't fall asleep. I got really drunk.
Oh, that's right.
Still didn't make it interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to love a movie with such classic lines as, "You're against me. All my life, all skeletons have been against me."
I'm sorry, my wife does. My wife sometimes forgets that she is not an alien.
I sleep now.
Hold yourself in the middle.
And then, being a fan of Rocky for so long, I love shock treatment.
I'll
clap.
Jumping like a real live wire.
Which. Was legitimately supposed to be the sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture
Show. It is.
Well, it is. It but is. It got rewritten, though.
So
it's kind of its own movie, but if you know your Rocky movie, you can find the connections of
and
what should have been.
A slightly interesting thing that not many people agree with me on, it's also a musical, and the best reason to watch this movie is for the songs, but there's a band that performs near the end, which I argue is the real first example of what would become grunge. It's that little song by Oscar Drill and the Bits. Yes, indeed.
Coming out.
Oh, my God. It's so ahead of its time. Musical.
Also, a nice bit of trivia for Shock Treatment. Cliff the Young. So there is a Brad and Janet. Cliff the Young and Jessica... I can't remember her last
name. I want to say Chastain, and that's not it.
Yeah. But so they play Brad and Janet, not Barry Bostwick and Susan Sarandon. But Cliff the Young was actually tapped first to be Brad and Rocky because he was friends with Jim Sherman, who produced the movie. But he had some other gig, so they brought in Barry Bostwick, which we all know and love. And I think Rocky would be a different movie if it was... But
Cliff the Young's Brad is a little more of a caricature.
Yeah, but it's cool because he's I don't want to spoil it, but he plays two roles, in Shock Treatment.
Showing that range.
If you're not familiar,
thank you
so much. And if you're not familiar with who Cliff the Young is, he is
FX2.
Well, I was gonna say The Craft.
Sure.
He's the father of the good witch that flies in and moves in and meets the other three girls.
You know, it was mentioned a moment ago, a little bit quiet, and we missed it. Not all cult movies are horror or weird things like that. Some cult movies are just strange on a level that most people can't agree with. Who has seen Brick?
Yes. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Ryan Johnson just did Last Jedi.
Right. Just did Last Jedi. Brick is this wonderful, hard-boiled P.I. Movie that takes place at a high school.
Yes.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
It's amazing. Emily
DeRozan? Oh my God. It is so pitch perfect, just on spot. It's
so good.
Great.
I love
it. It is this great, great thing. And because I don't know that enough people still remember it, I have to go back to that magic time with It Came From Hollywood. That summer, the Movie Channel was doing this thing that every Friday night they would show what they called it schlock cinema, I think, because I didn't know what cult was. And they showed a different one, and at the end of the month, there was a 900 number to call, and whichever film got the most votes won. So that's where I first saw the Brain for Planet Eros, and I forget the other one they showed, but the one they showed that as a young child I fell in love with, and my parents were like, "How can you like this movie? It's so stupid." That's where I found the joy that is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen Attack of the Killer Donut Show?
No.
What?
Go on.
Donuts.
Yes.
I like donuts and killing.
But if you like great lines, near the opening when the tomatoes are on their rampage, it's an incredibly low budget film, incredibly, so they can't show these things. There's this wonderful old couple sitting on a couch, and you're watching them see what we never get to see. But the old man's like, wow, Ma, look at the size of them tomatoes. All the big tomatoes, looks like they got little Timmy. Poor Timmy.
So remorseful, you know. Oh no.
And interesting trivia side note, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2 stars George Clooney.
Stars.
He is absolutely the man, the myth, the legend.
The talk of non-horror cult movies makes me think of one that's like very near and dear to my heart, and I can't even explain why. I think it was just because of the age I was, and I always forget about it when we're talking about ones we saw early. But we've talked about this a bit in other panels. Spice World. Just I have such a soft spot.
What I really, really want.
Don't so tell me what you want. What you really, really want.
I want a good. I want a good movie, but it's not right here. What will I do?
You're on the wrong panel, sir.
It does have a Rocky connection.
It does.
No, I don't like. I don't remember the
yes,
name.
Yes, it does.
Richard O'Brien.
Richard O'Brien does play the creepy paparazzi.
Yeah,
and
Meatloaf's
in it as well.
It's the scientific name for. So I'm trying to find this because, in very similar line to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, there is a movie where you are. It's the trailer is amazing because it's like. There's this monster. What is it? We don't know. And then all of a sudden, a giant bunny rabbit. It's apparently mutant bunny rabbits just attacking a town.
So not Night of the Lepus?
It is. I was like, what's the scientific name for bunnies?
Starring DeForest Kelly. Okay, not the star. But he's in there with a sweet 70s, almost John Oates mustache.
That's beautiful.
So it's so worth it.
The bunnies are the real stuff.
I don't know. I feel like DeForest Kelly's mustache was pretty great.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, amazing.
So we're getting low on time. So let's talk about an incredibly obscure film that everyone should see just because it's incredibly strange. And that would be.
I don't want to see your sex tape.
No.
You don't know that.
I need everyone to go
that
find Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Oh. That sounds wonderful.
You'll never believe what it's about. So you should watch it to see the twists and turns that it takes. But somehow they build an entire movie around people having to get into a bed that will kill people.
You're recommending this movie?
I'm recommend it. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Uh-huh. So yes.
But if the horror filmmaker says no, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
But I want to sleep in a bed.
She's really worried
I'm
that she's going to want to steal the ideas from it.
The bed and me have a great relationship. I am currently missing it right now.
I miss my bed so much. You're just making us nostalgic for our beds.
We do.
We're very tired people.
And I can't speak to the quality of this film as cult or not, but in the Q&A today with Claire Kramer, I learned she was in a film in which she said, no one has ever seen this film based on the title alone. She was in a film called The Mummy and the Armadillo.
Oh, wow.
And on that title alone, I have to see that movie. It can't possibly live up to what I want it to be, but I want to see the ancient story.
I just want to see this buddy cop film.
I'm trying to figure out.
He's a mummy. He's an armadillo. They fight crime. This is all of it.
Yes, thank you.
You're quite welcome. We've got 5 minutes left, so how do you want to wrap this up? Have everyone out here tell us their favorite movie we've never heard of?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it. Raise your hand. Who's got it? Boom.
Have you guys ever seen The Dark Backward?
Yes.
Judd Nelson's got the arm put on his back, terrible comedian. One of the best roles Bill Paxton you'll ever see.
Oh, Bill Paxton.
Fantastic. Seriously, you gotta see it. It's awesome.
That is a fair point. He is amazing in that, yes indeed. Yes.
Crime Wave by Sam Raimi.
Crime Wave. Oh, well, you know, anything Sam Raimi you should see. But yeah, yeah.
I used to have it on VHS then because you couldn't get it anywhere, and they just recently released it on Blu-ray.
So. Written by the Coen brothers.
Yeah, written by the Coen brothers.
Yeah, oh, so it has legitimate film staff tied there.
Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter.
Yeah,
it's a musical.
It is a musical. It takes place nowadays. Jesus Christ gets brought back and instantaneously shaves and gets a makeover. And
my favorite is the sandwich.
And the ninjas. Yeah. We kind of just, oh, look, there's a ninja. It's
like,
oh, gosh.
It goes on a little longer than it needs to, but no, it's a fun time.
This one isn't exactly obscure, at least not as far as cult movies go. It kind of straddles the line between absurdist comedy and cult classic, but Clue is one of my
favorites.
Oh. Yay! Yay!
Shameless
plug, come see us at RavenCon to see Clue.
They will be shadow casting Clue at RavenCon, so you should join us for that. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
This wasn't planned at all, I promise.
We didn't pay him anything.
Not a thing. No, that's...
I don't know if it counts, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Yeah, yeah, that counts.
Hell yes.
Yeah, that totally counts.
Hell yes, it counts. Rutger Hauer, Paul Rubens, and Luke Perry? Yeah, that counts.
Her superpower is her period cramps? Yes.
So, the best thing about this is I was allowed to watch Army of Darkness as a child, but apparently my family decided that, you know what, Buffy, Angel, Charmed, no, I'm not allowed to watch that.
You well, might get feminist ideas.
I know,
well,
right?
Well, those were somewhat realistic, whereas, I guess, I don't know.
No. Wait, Army of Darkness is totally
what?
Realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, chainsaw
never gone back in time and fought demons with a boomstick coming out.
Yeah.
3 minutes. Anybody else want to throw one out? Otherwise, I'm...
Mark, yes. Say something.
Mark, say something. Adam Breen.
What?
Creature with the Adam Breen.
Yes.
Creature with the
Adam Breen. Creature with the Adam Breen.
Yes.
Okay.
I like it.
Owlette. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Creature with the Adam Breen.
Owl wings.
Like A-T-O-M. Adam?
Do it.
Aww. Aww. What a precious
one. Too tight.
Okay.
There's another one I have that is The Irrefutable Truth About Demons.
Movies that flopped in the theater and then found an audience like Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Repo is part of that, and
yeah,
like that's gone like mainstream. There was a tour going on. I tried to get onto that tour, especially for Alleluia, which is the sequel. Which it was a movie. It was not a movie I was really prepared for because it was more than 45 minutes long.
Yeah, we decided
those guys are super nice, so I hung out.
Yeah,
with
we decided to buy it, and because we already had it was long. Super long.
That's what everyone tells me.
Drawn out.
Well, I mean, like, if we're going to talk about cult movies, like, we got it because, like, 2017, 2018, it's been huge. Look at The Room.
Yeah.
Like, what? And it was amazing.
Because
like,
spend
not
the whole
room.
Time
what's
talking
the.
About
what's the. Oh, God.
It's The Exam.
No, what's the.
The Disaster Artist.
The Disaster Artist, yeah. And, like, I was like, oh, my God. And, I mean, the movie was incredible, but it's just. Like, how did that happen? You know, like, how did that... I mean, you've all seen The Room, right? Like, everyone here has seen The Room. If you haven't, look it up. You're tearing me apart! Like, you gotta look that movie up. It's just got golden, like, one-liners in it, but the Disaster Artist, James Franco plays Tommy in it.
Yeah.
And it just, like, came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, we started seeing, you know, previews for this movie, and we're like, how much money does this guy have? Where, like, somehow, like, James Franco is playing him in a movie. But, yeah, I mean, it's been great.
In a movie that they didn't promote at all.
Yeah, and, I mean,
for a good
he
while.
He bought a billboard.
Yeah.
Just one.
I do have to ask the two of you, because I've been panels with these guys a lot about this. Oh. Have either of you seen a little movie called The Irrefutable Truth About Demons?
The Irrefutable Truth About Demons.
It is a terrible, terrible, terrible Carl Urban movie.
Interesting.
That apparently, I found the one no one else has seen.
Ooh,
I found the one
win.
Movie no one else.
Someone throw chocolate at her. Yeah.
Oh God, no, this isn't geek
actually,
trivia.
Yeah, I have some.
I was like, I'll take some.
Chocolate at one.
Oh wait, we have chocolate.
We have chocolate. We're getting chocolate thrown at us.
Here's. I think this is chocolate. Someone gave it to me. Here you go.
Okay.
You didn't throw it.
Since we're about to run out of time, every time we talk cult movies, I have to make sure everybody finds Cannibal the Musical.
Yes.
Oh dear God, they made a musical. Out of it?
Yes.
Out of what?
It was officially musical.
It was, oh. Yeah, it was always.
Oh, God.
Matt and Trey, when they were on spring break in college, went up into the mountains and made a movie based on a true story of Alfred Packer, the only person ever convicted of cannibalism in this country. And it is an absolute, honest-to-God musical.
It is
beautiful. And all the stuff that will become South Park kind of gets referenced and highlighted in here. Everyone needs to find that movie.
All right,
We're getting candy.
And because we do have to go, there's also something called Unmasked Part 13.
Yeah.
It is the 13th film in a series, and that's the only film they ever made. It's a Jason Voorhees style guy meeting a woman. And tries to have a normal relationship.
Special
dark. So find that.
Come
see us at closing ceremony.
Can I trade you for special dark?
Yes, yeah. Yes, we can.
Why would you do that to me?
Trick or treat.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Oh, God, yes, we should have made a list of those films, but you still can. So do that, and we'll add it to the show at GeekRadioDaily.com. Check out Charming Underclothes at CUATRHPS.org, which they do not pronounce as quarterhips.org,
but we do.
And look for them at a con near you. Thank you to everyone from Mysticon. It's always an amazing show, and you need to get yourself over to Mysticon-VA.com to see what you missed and start planning for next year. Look for more at Mysticon at GeekRadioDaily.com.